Welcome to the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Null is to the right of quarterback Tanner Bray. He's got a bunch set left. Snap pulled down and hand off. Here's Null breaking up the middle. Away at the 40, 45. Almost broke a tackle in midfield. He picks up another double-digit run to the right of first down quality, 17 yards. Snap handing off, running right. Here's Ryan Null. He'll steam right downhill to the 20. 15, 10, end zone! Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! Ryan Null, 32 yards, turned the corner, and he was gone.
Cheers, Bears fans! This is Bears 100 Proof. You just heard a couple of highlights of Ryan Nall's big night as he is fighting to make this 53-man roster. And after tonight's performance, it's doubtful that he is going to be cut. But we will talk with Danny Shimon about that briefly. The Bears were losers tonight, 28-27, their final preseason game. And now it's all about the 53-man cutdown that happened Saturday at before 3 p.m. Central. So we'll talk about that with Danny. Danny, how are you?
Aldo, I'm doing great. And one of the reasons I'm doing great is because the preseason is done. We can move on to real football, meaningful football games that count. Let's bring it on.
I hear you. Well, you know what? Matt Nagy is at the podium now. Let's see if we can get him in here and see what he's got to say.
With the offensive staff and myself on how we're going to do that, I think that was one of the more valuable parts of this preseason was we tweaked some things on how we did some of the internal stuff. And none of it was major, but it's been better the last couple weeks. And so that's a positive going into for the first time. That's probably really the biggest thing. Other than that, I've been on the sidelines, so there's not much of a change other than just dealing with the defense, especially. And then also calling timeouts, challenges, stuff like that, the communication of that from up top and to myself.
Philosophically, for you, how do you balance guys who are finishing the preseason strong versus maybe some good things they might have done earlier in the year, earlier in the preseason, when you're filling out the roster?
So you're saying, like, starting out good and then finishing good, or just
starting out well and maybe tailing off versus starting?
Yeah. Well, we want to look for the guys that do the opposite. They maybe they're getting better. You know, they're gradually getting better each and every game. It's at and really all three phases, but I'm excited to get together here tomorrow and start putting it all together and talking and really getting into it and figuring out what's best for our team.
You mentioned how tough this will be before the week that tear it down. Have you formulated some of this already in your head along with your assistant, some, most, and being the first time being in charge, how tough will this be?
Yeah, so Ryan and I have gotten together and we've discussed a good majority of it because we want to make sure that in certain areas we're thinking the same, or we can prep on to what we know we're going to have to talk about here in the next couple of days. We can already kind of know that ahead of time. So we've gone over all the positions and talked through different stuff, and now tomorrow we'll get the coaches involved and we'll listen to all that. We'll take everybody's input, and then ultimately Ryan and I will just talk through it, and then we'll figure out what the best decision is, you know.
All right, I'm going to pull the rest of that interview because it's a little low in the audio and some of the folks in our chat room are wondering if they're deaf or whether we've got a technical difficulty. I think we know pretty much what the coach is up to here. It's all about evaluation now. It's all about sitting down with the general manager and player personnel people and assistant coaches and making some very, very tough decisions. I think the headline out of this game is that Ryan Nall won a spot on the 53-man roster. Do you agree with me, Danny?
Yeah, I do agree. I think to me all along he was competing against Michael Burton for the fullback position or whatever you want to call it. And I think he today showed, you know, they lined him up as a fullback in I formation and a goal line situation on that Miles Davis touchdown run. And he's not the greatest blocker, but you know, he put effort in there and he sealed off the defender and gave Davis a little opening, a little crack to get into the end zone. So I think Ryan Nall has made this team, and I think he deserved to make the team. You know, he earned it. So Phil, if you're out there listening, get that song ready because you promised this kid a song. So.
Yeah, I think that fella's already writing some lyrics now as we speak. Yeah, regarding this kid's blocking, you know, that's clearly something he was not asked to do much in college and special teams as well. Now, Patrick Manley tweeted out that he pulled some special teams plays of Nall and that he was fairly impressed with what he saw on special teams. And his blocking did show some improvement throughout training camp. So this is a guy who clearly is going to grow into the role. And frankly, his blocking skills aren't any worse than Michael Burton's.
No, they're not. They're not, no. And like I said, his upside is much better than Michael Burton. So, you know, having him on the roster, I think, not only saves him from being plucked with somebody else, but also, you know, gets you a young kid, like you said, to develop, to grow, and to mature into that role, into a prominent role on the offensive side.
Steven Zim Zimmerman in the chat room says that Nall reminds him of Jordan Howard 2 years ago. Like, how is he in the bottom of the depth chart? I don't know if I would go,
that far
as Steven Double Z, but you know, maybe, you know, there is something about Nall, though, that tells me he could be a starting running back in this league. I know that you are of the opinion that he's probably better suited to fullback. Is that correct?
That is correct. I don't think he has the lateral agility and all the other things that necessary you look to find in a starting running back. But again, the kid has talent. The kid does have some impressive breakaway speed for someone who's 6'2", 237 pounds. So if he could just improve his blocking, add some more weight to him, I think we have a pretty good fullback who can, you know, who's versatile, who could split out wide, also, you know, run some routes, you know, out of the slot or whatnot. So definitely a bright spot, you know, a kid who's undrafted, you know, makes a roster. Not always a positive, but it's always a good thing. It's a good feeling when you find, you know, a possible diamond in the rough. Of course, you know, you don't want to have too many undrafted free agents. That usually means that your talent on your roster isn't the greatest. So, but in this case, I think Nall came in, you know, and worked his butt off and earned himself a roster spot. The biggest question for me, because I think Doran Grant is going to make the team as well, the cornerback, and we had another pick six today. And my biggest question is, all right, who's getting up number 35? Because they both can't wear 35 in the regular season. Yeah, so
that's right. Well, that the number battle will be something that we'll probably find out on Saturday or Sunday.
Yep.
Steven Zimmerman just wanted to clarify. He's saying that he's not going to be a Howard-type talent, but that he shouldn't be on the bubble. He's clearly talented enough not to be at the bottom of the depth chart. And with that, I definitely agree with Steven. Another thought here by Chris. He says that the fact that Nall was playing fullback makes me wonder if Nagy asked him if he'd be willing to play that position. And we know he wanted to be a halfback, though. And that is completely correct. Nall was on our show, and he told us he wants to be a halfback, and that's been his dream. I do think that he's got the possibility to be a solid running back now in this league. You know, these power backs, I don't know if we're seeing as many power backs as we used to in the past. The league has transformed itself into these versatile backs who can catch passes, and we already have that power back on the squad. So
right.
I don't know if Nall will ever get that opportunity to be a number one back with Chicago, because I think that once Jordan Howard's days are gone, if Nagy is still coaching this team, he's going to want to try to find another Kareem Hunt type of player. You agree with that?
Correct. All right. And that was one of the questions when Nagy was first hired. My question was, does Jordan Howard fit in this offense? So obviously, you know, Howard and Nagy have both said that, you know, he will fit in this offense. He has a role in his offense, and we'll see how the season plays out. But yeah, definitely in terms of, you know, Nall, you know, he did say in our show that his dream is to play running back, but he also did say that he was willing to do, you know, whatever the coaches want him to do. So if it is to play fullback and to block and play special teams, he is open and willing to do that as well. So I think the kid should be proud and is excited, you know, about making the team. And again, you know, nothing's official, but I feel pretty good about him making the final 53-man roster.
Sean Ellis says that Ryan Nall could be Green Bay's John Kuhn in 2 to 3 years. I don't see him as a Kuhn type player.
He's more athletic than Kuhn. He's got better speed than Kuhn, and he's a better overall runner than Kuhn. Kuhn might have been a better blocker, lead blocker, so on and so forth. But I think Nall offers more in terms of, you know, actual, you know, running back movement, running back skills than Kuhn does. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting. So tell me, Danny, what stood out to you in this game besides Ryan Nall?
Well, I kind of touched on it a bit here at Doran Grant, his second pick six of the preseason. The kid is just aggressive. When he comes up to tackle, he's aggressive. He's pretty good in terms of getting out of his back pedal and coming downhill. And as we saw in the pick six, you know, jumping the route and getting the interception. So I think he has made the team. I'm not as confident about that prediction as I am about Nall making the team, because I think there are some other younger cornerbacks, you know, that the Bears could keep either for special team purposes or maybe, you know, long term in terms of prospects or, you know, long term development. So, but I think to me, if I had to pick right now, and I was kind of jotting down during the game my 53 man roster and on it right now, I have Doran Grant on there as well. So he stuck out to me. I'll tell you what, a kid who keeps getting better and better each week and is kind of going, you know, unnoticed, is Bilal Nichols. I mean, he had 1.5 sacks tonight. He was sucking wind towards the end of that game.
Yes,
I mean, pretty much the whole defense was, but I mean, he's developing in terms of, you know, becoming a more of a dominant force in the middle there. And, you know, as a run defender, you can see his pass rush repertoire is, you know, it's getting better and better. A couple nice moves today. He had an arm over swim move, a couple of slaps where he ripped the offensive lineman's hands off his body. So this kid's getting better and better. I just hope he gets an opportunity to get in that rotation early on in the season because he's got some momentum building here. You know, I just don't want him to be put back there, you know, on a back burner here. Let this kid play a little bit. Let's get his feet wet, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm really liking what I'm seeing out of Bilal Nichols.
Let me interrupt you there. I want to go back to Doran Grant. I've got his highlight of his interception here queued up. Let me play that and then go to his post-game interview with the ChicagoBears.com, Lawrence Greeden.
30-yard line. They spread it out this time. 3-by-2 formation. Bears bringing Timu on a stun up the middle. Here's a throw to the right side. And left side is picked off. Doran Grant on his horse. Goodbye, touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Sat out and picked it. Little stun up front. And McCarron's picked off. Doran Grant to the house. Bears up 9-0. 5 minutes to go, first quarter.
All right, now we'll go to Laura Screeden and see in her interview with Doran Grant.
Laura Screeden here with Doran Grant. Big pick six in the first half. Take me through that play.
You know, they were just throwing some short routes out there, and I just decided to take a chance on one.
Had to feel pretty good, huh?
Yeah, felt pretty good, you know, getting our team up on the board and getting the game rolling.
What's been your mindset this preseason and heading into tonight's game?
Just grinding, embracing the grind. That's the only way you can get better in football, just embrace the grind every day.
What about the effort you saw from the guys out there tonight?
Great effort. Great effort from all of us. You know, I mean, unfortunately, we couldn't finish it, but great effort across the board. I was proud of the guys.
Thanks.
Good team effort.
Now, he had a nasty little pass interference called on him where he just stretched out his arm because he got
Yeah, that was questionable. I mean,
really?
I mean, you got to let him play a little bit, but yeah, it was a pass interference that was called on him.
And then on that interception, I mean, if that was an excellent stunt called by Fangio. I think it was Timu, and I'm forgetting the other guy that was running the stunt with
it him. I believe it was Iggy, wasn't it?
Yes.
Double dog blitz linebacker where they crossed and he came up and then, you know, it looks like, and you should see kind of Grant, you know, baiting McCarron to throw it out there. And that's what I said, like he has, you know, pretty good reflexes and reaction ability where he just kind of saw the ball come in, baited him, and then jumped the route. And again, it did the same thing to Lamar Jackson in that Baltimore game, the Hall of Fame game. So I guess it's Doran Grant. I mean, I've been calling him Doran, but apparently it's Doran Grant. So I liked him coming out of Ohio State, you know, in college. So and he kind of went late in the draft, and I was kind of curious, you know, head scratcher why he fell so soon. And he's been around with a couple of teams already, so. You know, he's made a couple of rosters, but just has some trouble sticking on rosters. So I'm not sure if it's his inability to play special teams or he's just getting caught up in a numbers game. But definitely, I like what I've seen out of him and so far in this training camp and this preseason. So, again, my expectation, he makes this team. But, you know, we'll see what happens on Saturday.
And you mentioned Joel Iyebunyue, my man, Iggy.
Iggy.
Unfortunately, I don't think he had a very good game today. You agree?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely see his speed. His closing burst is pretty impressive. And that's something we saw at tape as well when he was playing in college. So, but his ability, his contribution this season is going to be on special teams. You know, he's going to have to pick up the pace there on special teams. He had, you know, his sideline, you know, when he goes from the middle of the field to the sideline, you can see the, you know, speed there as well. So his game is going to be centered around speed, and being able to dodge and go over under those, you know, lead blockers and stuff like that. But again, during a regular season, knock on wood, everyone stays healthy, his main contribution will be on special teams.
James Daniels looked like he played the entire game. Man, that guy has a big butt. Wow, does he have a big butt?
Yeah. Can't miss it, right?
You cannot miss it. He played the whole game. What's your evaluation of his play?
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen him getting extensive snaps at guard, and I thought he did okay. There was a couple times he was being in the first quarter. One time I remember off the top of my head, but I think he did well. I like him. He looks more natural to me at center, but I mean, this guy has played both guard and center in college. He came in here specifically when they drafted him, they labeled him as a guard. I know he's been working at center a little bit. So, but he's another young kid that's going to develop. And, you know, if I had to pick between him and Kush starting at left guard, I think I would just go ahead and put Daniels in there and just, you know, run with him. You know, both have had ups and downs, you know, him and Kush in terms of the left guard position. So I would just, you know, if they're both even, I'd just go with the young kid and go and let him start and let him get in there and become one of those, guys that, you know, stalwarts at the offensive line.
Ben Alexandra in the chat room says that he's been noticing Nichols since day one when he was drafted and posted offseason workout in the sand. Dude is hungry. And there was another comment. AA Ron from Chicago Bilal has spent all camp and preseason on the hip of Akeem Hicks, which is so smart. Pace looks like he has had a hell of a draft. Yeah, I mean, if Roquan Smith goes out there and plays to half our expectations, this draft class could be a really good one.
Right. Roquan Smith, Anthony Miller. I mean, you know, I think pretty much the entire draft class has a chance of making this team. The only kid I'm kind of worried about is Cali Fitz a little bit, because it's a numbers game. Now, I think he was credited with half a sack today. He just at times just seems like he's just missing that extra flexibility, the bend to be able to wrap up and alter his path to get to the quarterback. Don't get me wrong, I still like him, still high on him. That's the only kid that I see maybe having some issues making the roster, only because it's a numbers game. Because, you know, as I was crunching the roster, like I was saying earlier, is Aaron Lynch making this team? You know, I'm assuming Isaiah Irving's making this team, but we don't know. He was playing the entire game. Now, is that because of necessity? They had no bodies to play? Mm-hmm. Or is that because, hey, you know what? He's in jeopardy of not making this team. And then if you notice early in the game, you know, Nagy was pretty adamant on, you know, yelling at the defense. And I think Irving was one of the guys who was catching his fire there, because he kept telling him, look at the ball, look at the ball. And then he was called one time for being offsides as well. So I don't know. I mean, I thought Irving is safe. I assume he's safe. But, I mean, the kid played the entire game. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, like I said, the draft class looks good so far. Knock on wood. You know, we haven't seen Roquan Smith, but we're probably all expecting him to be a starter, you know, a mainstay linebacker for them. So from the first pick all the way down to the seventh round pick, you know, looks like Pace had another solid draft.
Mm-hmm. AA Ron from Chicago says that Fitz looks like he might be having conditioning issues. And I actually thought about that, too, a couple of times out there. I think he's seeing a lot more playing time than he has in quite some time because of the injuries he had in college. It's been a long, arduous preseason camp. He has seen a lot of action in preseason practices. And, yeah, well, a few times out there, he did look like he could have been a little tired. And to me, he just reeks of a great practice squad candidate. I think he just needs more time to develop. He's been out of football because of these injuries for some time. I think he's a developmental project.
I mean, yeah, he very well could be. You know, I'd be surprised if he makes it through waivers without being claimed, to be honest with you. I think someone would pluck him off if they do cut him. So that might be something that that Bears factor in their decision. You know, we've also got to take into consideration here is the Bears are not only going to be talking about their roster and their players, they're also going to be scouring maybe a trade, who's going to be a trade, who's going to be a trade, who's going to might get cut from other teams. You know, generally every year, you know, Pace and the Bears, they pick up some guys who's been cut from other teams. So just because one of our guys, we claim quote unquote on the bubble make the team, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be their game, week one the following week, because like we said, Pace has a reputation of always scouring the waiver wire and seeing who he can pick up, and I know my eyes always been on Denver, and because I know the Bears' biggest need is pass rusher, and with Shane Ray and all those guys out there, are they going to cut Shane Ray? Is he available to trade? I know he's been somewhat nicked in the preseason. Is he healthy? Keep an eye on and again, the Bears practice against Denver, and a couple years ago, the Bears practice against the Patriots, and they plucked Cravon LeBlanc off the Patriots when they cut him. So there could be a player here and there that the Bears could pluck off from the waiver wire once all the cuts have been made over the weekend.
I'd love to see Kasim Edebali make this team, and Coach Pace after the game said that the injury to Edebali looked like it was a contusion. So if okay. that is the case, then it should not be a serious injury. Now, the one to Daniel Brown, the tight end, I actually sent a quick tweet over to Dr. Chow, who was our guest on Bears 100 Proof recently, and he said that it could either be a subluxation or a dislocation. Now, if it's a subluxation, that means he'll probably be out a week or so. That's kind of a partial dislocation of the shoulder. But if it's a full dislocation, then it could be weeks before he is back. So we'll have to keep an eye on that, particularly with Adam Shaheen. His status in doubt. He's gone. I guess Coach Nagy at a press conference earlier this week said that Shaheen's was going out for a third or fourth opinion on his status, and that he probably won't go on IR. But the fact that they're getting all these opinions is concerning. And so if both Shaheen and Brown are out to injury, what happens at this tight end position?
Right, so because right now I have them keeping five tight ends, and I've Shaheen, I have Brown, I have Broniker, Deion Sims, and number 80, the new guy, I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Sims.
The kid from the Philly. I can't believe I'm drawing a name on his blank on his name right now. Trey Burton. Thank you so much. I see his face. I saw his number. I just couldn't think of the name. So I have those five, all five guys making it. So, with Brown's possible injury, obviously Shaheen's injury, so, I mean, you're down to three. And I think Sims hasn't been 100% healthy either throughout the training camp either. So we'll see how that shakes out. It was funny because when Brown caught the ball and he got up and shaking his hand or his arm, I thought maybe he had like a stinger, or maybe they hit his funny bone or something like that. But, if he's got a serious shoulder injury, that's going to be something that's concerning, something to definitely keep an eye on. And then as far as my man Kasim, man, the guy was just walking, got up off the ground, and all of a sudden looked like someone shot him, and he just fell to the ground. And I guess someone maybe rolled on his ankle or something like that. I haven't seen the replay yet, so I'm not sure what happened there. But Kasim was in a tough spot to make the roster. Again, just crunch numbers real quick. It's like if they keep five outside linebackers, do you keep Aaron Lynch making a team? Is he not making a team? Is Kelly Fitz making a team? Is Isaiah Irving making a team? If one of those guys don't make it, then obviously there's room for Kasim. So, he's one of the players that caught my eye, and really impressed me during the preseason. He always, he's tough at the point of contact or point of attack, and obviously brings some pressure off the edge too. So, with that need of outside pass rusher, and assuming they don't pick anybody up or make a trade, after these cuts are made, I think keeping a guy like Kasim around, even if it's on short-term IR, would be a wise thing to do.
I got to tell you that Aaron Lynch is going to make this team. I mean, I know we haven't seen him at all this preseason, but just the fact that this team needs a pass rushing help, and Aaron Lynch has a proven track record, I got to believe he's going to be on this team. I know some people.
Yeah, but the last couple of years with the 49ers, he's been a no-show. He's been injured, and he really hasn't been productive when he has played. So unless Vic Fangio is going to, you know, pound a table for this guy and say, you know, this guy's got to make this team, you know, I think there's a possibility he doesn't make a team. I mean, we haven't seen him play at all, you know. So, you know, is he even healthy to play week one? You know, so I guess, you know, and you need, trust me, you're going to need some pass rush versus the $100 million quarterback you're going to face Sunday night, you know, a week from the Sunday. So, I, you know, if he can help them, I'll part, you know, more power to him, you know, make the roster. But, you know, you got to consider, you know, this guy, is he healthy? Is he gonna be able to contribute? And I know Vic Fangio gets the best out of him, it seems like, you know, in the past. So we'll see. But, you know, to me right now, I have him on the roster, Lynch, that is. But, you know, in terms of, it wouldn't shock me if he's one of the cuts.
Double A Ron from Chicago in the chat room is throwing around the exclamation points. He is not happy with Aaron Lynch. He says, get rid of him, find somebody else. The thing is, at that position, it's really hard to find somebody else. And to Danny's point about exposing Kylie Fitz to the waivers, yeah, there's such a need for pass rushers that Kylie Fitz could be eaten up. Now, a lot of teams around this time of the year, I have found, fall in love with their own players and sometimes won't go fishing for other players. But at certain positions, they will take chances on players. And at the pass rushing position.
Pass rusher is one of them, yes,
exactly,
sir.
Exactly. So, yeah, maybe Fitz just makes the squad because you just don't want to expose that talent out there to waivers. It's unlike the wide receiver position where Tanner Gentry last year was put on waivers like every other week and nobody touched them because every team has a load of wide receivers.
Or they seen him play. I mean, they know that, you know, he has trouble, you know, creating separation and he's limited, you know, physically in terms of, you know, size and also speed too. So, you know, Tanner Gentry is who he is. He's a nice, you know, preseason guy, camp guy. You know, if he was you know, better on special teams, he may have a shot sticking on making a roster. But, you know, even on special teams, he's really a non-factor. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of wide receiver position, I think that's a lock. My six that I tweeted out after, you know, during the Hall of Fame game are the six that I think are gonna break, you know, break camp and, or, you know, start the season with the Bears, and I think they're gonna go with six receivers.
Now, what do you think of Mr. Tyler Bray at the quarterback position?
Tyler Bray, I hope you have. well, he's going to get cut, but he's going to. I think he's going to be on the practice squad. I hope. I don't, actually, you know, I should go back and check and see if he's eligible for a practice squad. I think he is, but if he is eligible, I think he's a perfect guy to put on the practice squad. Obviously, he knows the offense. He's comfortable in the offense. But, you know, come on, guys. Tyler Bray is who we think he is. You know, so he's a backup quarterback at best. He could probably compete for a number two spot, you know. So, but, you know, I think the Bears go with two quarterbacks initially, just because of the other needs at other positions. They're gonna need that extra roster spot. So, but if Bray's practice squad eligible, and I should probably look that up. I think he's a prime candidate to be on the practice squad.
I asked the question on Twitter: is Tyler Bray on the 53-man roster? We got almost 200 votes, and 60% said there's no room for him on the roster, and 40% said yes, he's good for the quarterback room. And that's what we hear about Tyler Bray, that, you know, the guy is just a student of the game and a help to young Mitch Trubisky. He could be sort of like a Mark Sanchez, how Mark Sanchez was to Trubisky in his rookie year. But yeah, there's just seems to be a need for that roster spot, and so placing him on the 53, particularly with so many injuries at some positions, may not be the best idea. So tough decision.
And also, guys on a practice squad are also welcomed into that room too. So if he's on a practice squad, he can still sit in the quarterback room and help Mitch out.
Got it. Very good point. Very good point. Now, what else do you have on your notes there in terms of players that either impressed you or you said, oh, boy, this guy is not going to make the team, and maybe I thought he was?
Kasim was one of the guys that I thought, you know, had a chance of making a team. You know, depending on the injury, what happens here, we'll see. And again, how the numbers crunch out and everything like that. Tyquan Mizell had a interesting game. I mean, his rushing attempts were okay. He had some runs where he showed the ability to be elusive and you know, escape from a defender's grasp. But also he impressed in terms of the, you know, catching passes out of the backfield. But I think with Nall, his game, and with Brendan Cunningham, I think Mizell probably finds himself cut over the weekend. In terms of, you know, we talked about Grant, in terms of impressing, we talked about Nichols already. And in terms of another guy, you know, we were kind of, we had spotted prior to the game was Rashard Coward, the offensive lineman, the biggest lineman converted to offensive tackle. And he had a up and down game for me today. There are some blocks in the running game, especially. I think Mizell had a nice run in the first quarter. He did Coward did a nice job of sealing off the edge, allowing Mizell to go ahead and get out there. And I think he got a 6-7 yard gain on that run. So that was pretty nice. He had some nice sets as a pass blocker. But then also there was times he just whiffed and missed.
Yep.
At times he was like literally running behind the defensive lineman trying to catch up to him as he just, you know, was beaten so badly off the snap. So, again, technique is sloppy, but, you know, it's understood. The kid was a defensive lineman up until this offseason. So that's something that he's going to work on. He's going to get better in. But in terms of, you know, athleticism, the mean streak you like to see in the offensive line, he has all that. He has the strength to be able to drive, you know, defenders off the line of scrimmage, which I like. The only question is, do you feel confident that if you do cut him, that you can get him back on the practice squad?
So, I think so. I think so. I don't think any team is going to pick Coward and put them on their 53-man roster, because if you do pick somebody off of waivers, you got to put them on your roster. And I just don't see that happening with Coward because he is still so green. I think other teams will say, no, I'd rather go with the offensive lineman that we've been working on with the last 6 weeks than bring in some guy who's just been playing offensive line for a few weeks. Coward will be on this practice squad, mark my words.
Yeah. And that's perfect, because I agree with you, because I mean if you can take a roster spot for a guy who, like you said, is a project, who's your development, who's shown good signs, you know, someone you want to keep and you want to kind of, you know, continue to develop, you can always, you know, put him on a practice squad, and if some team does come and try and sign him, you can always then elevate him to the, you know, to your 53-man roster and protect him that way. So I would agree, you know, we'll see what the Bears think, but I agree with you in terms of, you know what, you cannot take up a roster spot, especially for a position that vital, and just, you know, and take on a kid that's, you're developing into a offensive lineman who was a defensive lineman, even though he showed you all this, you know, the traits and some has shown some growth in the position change. Ooh, easy for me to say, but yeah, definitely, if I can get him back on the practice squad, that would be ideal.
Back to the question of Taequann Mizell. I know I'm mispronouncing that name, but it's late. I'm tired. I asked the question on Twitter, do the Bears carry four running backs to make room for Ryan Nall and Taequann Mizell? 10% said yes. 4% said no, Mizell. 11% no, they're not going to keep any of those two guys, and those 11% have been drinking more than I have. And 75% said no, they're just going to carry Nall. In the chat room, we've got a number of people saying that Mizell should be sneaked into the practice squad. Ben Alexander, for one, says Mizell can spend another year on the practice squad and under Nagy's offense. He could be a good step if Tariq, God forbid, gets injured. Yes, Ben, I can't believe you even typed that. Shame on you. I don't know. What do you think? You know, to me, Mizell is a... I'm not that impressed with the kid. I mean, I was hoping that he would show me more. I just don't see him even being worth a roster spot. You know.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing about him is he has some elusiveness in the open field in terms of it, both as a pass catcher out of the backfield and, you know, running out as a running back. But, you know, I saw him a couple times whiff on some special team, you know, tackle attempts. So, you know, he doesn't give you much there. And if we go through the roster right now, you know, we got obviously Jordan Howard, we got Tariq Cohen, you know, we're saying Ryan Nall makes his team, and then we got Benny Cunningham. We got four running backs right there. So, you know, to keep five, I think would be a luxury. You know, could they keep him initially and then cut him if they pick up somebody else from someone else's waiver cuts? That could be a possibility. But, you know, to keep five running backs, especially when you might have to keep an extra tight end or two because of the fact that, you know, we mentioned earlier, some of those guys are injured, might not be available for week one. And we know how this offense is driven by tight ends and, you know, with multiple formations, you know, two or three tight end sets. So, you know, I had five jotted down initially tight end wise as far as this roster is concerned. you know, to keep five running backs and five tight ends and six receivers, I mean, you're really limiting yourself then when you come to offensive linemen and backup offensive linemen. So I think Mizell does not make the final cut. It wouldn't surprise me if he makes the final cut and then gets eventually cut to bring in another player. But, you know, just to I guess, you know, week one against Green Bay, I don't think he'll be on the roster.
Double A Ron from Chicago says something that I totally agree with. He says that he wishes that the NFL would expand the rosters to 58 and dress 53. I am so in agreement with that sentiment. I don't know why they put these restrictions on teams with the amount of players. In my mind, you know, because of player safety issues, because of you don't want to see a guy in the fourth quarter play out of position because, you know, you didn't dress enough guys at a certain position. That just doesn't make sense. It's the NFL. But,
right.
You know, let's get the guys out there. Let's pay a little extra in your labor costs and let's have 58 men on the roster, even 60. I don't care. You know,
right.
I think it's silly.
Especially for a game that's so physical that injuries happen at any given game. You know, if the Bears do go with two quarterbacks and God forbid Trubisky gets hurt, you have one quarterback. You know, and then if he gets hurt, then what happens? You know,
yeah.
It's like so it just doesn't make sense to me. I never understood that. You know, to expand the rosters and to especially expand the active game day rosters would be, I think, a wise decision. So obviously, it's something that the Players Association is going to have to probably battle for. And in their next contract negotiation. So I definitely don't understand it. I don't know why you would limit, you know, teams, especially in a game, you know, built off of physical contact, you know. So makes no sense to me whatsoever. I never understood that whatsoever. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. Let's get back to the defensive backfield. You talked about Deron Grant earlier. I want to, unfortunately, I'm going to put it in a blunt manner, but I think Michael Joseph worked his way out of the NFL with tonight's performance. He did not look good. He's not even practice squad worthy based on what we saw tonight.
No, he got burned a couple times for those two touchdowns. But again, and that first one, I mean, he was there. He was in position. He just had to turn his head and find the ball. I mean, yep. That was just something. It's a teaching moment. You can probably just, you know, teach him that. And then second one, I mean, McCarron, you know, the defensive front was tired. McCarron had all day back there to find the receiver, and eventually got open, and it was his guy. So I think he's shown enough during the preseason to warrant a practice squad spot. So, you know, that's a kid that I think would be someone that they'd be wise to bring back. I mean, he showed me, you know, for a guy who's slender, you know, he shows the aggressiveness to come up and tackle. You know, he'll stick his head in there, is not intimidated. And again, in coverage-wise, he had pretty good coverage on that receiver. I think it was Robert Foster, but it just, unfortunately, he didn't turn his head and look for the ball. So that's something that, you know, it's a no-no for cornerbacks, especially if you anticipate and you see the receiver getting ready to get the ball, at least look back and, you know, or put your hands up or something like that. So, again, young cornerback, don't expect him to make the roster, but I do think he has a chance of making the practice squad.
Who are the four or five cornerbacks who are going to make this roster?
Well, I went with six cornerbacks for now. Again, just playing with numbers, but, you know, obviously you got the starters in Prince and Kyle Fuller. I got both Brian Callen and Quavon LeBlanc making the roster, and we talked about Grant already, and I got, you know, Sherrick McManus making it for special team purposes. So those are the guys I have right now.
So that means Michael Tolliver, possibly Joseph to the practice squad.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And Tolliver was a guy I kind of was one of those, you know, I'm like, this guy's got some nice traits. He, you know, hasn't really shown much in terms of coverage in the preseason, has flashed here and there. So definitely a guy you don't want to lose. But, I mean, just for special team purposes, I think you got to keep Sherrick McManus on this roster. So that's why those are my six, if they keep six. So you lose some size if you go with those six, besides Prince and Kyle, really. You know, if Marcus Cooper's gone, you know, he's a 6'1 cornerback, so if he's gone, you lose some size out there on the outside. But again, you know, you gotta, you know, you give up size to gain some coverage ability. So, and at this point, those are my six. I'm curious to see what the Barflies think in terms of who their six are.
Well, I'll tell you that Chris Trier right now is typing that if Marcus Cooper makes the team over Grant, he will be pissed.
I think they kept Cooper out of this game just in case he does not get hurt and there's no sort of injury settlement or anything. I think Cooper's gone.
Steven Zimmerman says that if Cooper is bagging groceries at the supermarket he goes to, he's going to be pissed. Yeah, I think that Ben Alexander says LeBlanc, Fuller, Callahan, Prince, Grant, and maybe Tolliver over McManus. Yeah, I don't think so. I think Tolliver is going to be in that practice squad. I think McManus, you know, we tend to overlook special teams play, and McManus and really Josh Bellamy, those guys can play. Although I'll tell you this, Mr. Benny Fowler.
I knew you were going to come up with Benny. Benny Fowler. Yeah, you know, Benny had a good game today. Yeah, I mean, I think he had two catches for 24 yards, and he made a couple plays on special teams. So, yes, I mean, that's his forte, special teams and making, you know, some catches here and there. So, but again, I mean, I think Bellamy has the inside track. I think Bellamy makes the team.
I think so.
But,
too.
You know, would it shock me? Yeah, I think it would shock me if Fowler makes it over Bellamy, but we'll see what happens. Stranger things have happened, you know, have occurred in the past. So we'll see what happens here. But I think Bellamy for now is my pick to make this roster.
The nice thing about Bellamy is that I don't recall him dropping a pass in any preseason game. The three times I went out to camp, I saw him drop one, maybe two passes, but he also made a number of really nice catches. And so, you know, his hands are never going to be A-plus hands, but if he can at least deliver B hands and see very limited time at wide receiver because he's just doing his special teams ace thing, then I'll be happy with him on the roster. But, you know, eventually I'd love to see that roster spot filled with somebody who can catch the ball and play good special teams.
Right. So, I mean, and the only thing is, you know, with Bellamy is like, you know, at least he was getting open. It's just, unfortunately, he was dropping the ball when it was coming to him. So that's the, you know, if you want, you know, half glass, half full, glass, half empty thing, you know, at least he's getting open, but he's dropping the ball. So,
all right.
We'll see. Hopefully with this year's wide receiver squad and this the depth we have this year at the position, we won't rely on Josh Bellamy's hands in terms of catching passes. We'll just hope he just makes plays on special teams.
Yep. I can't wait to see this team week one. Are the Packers like going to be totally shocked by what they see out of this offense? I mean, there's just no tape. There's nothing for them to scout.
We don't even know what we're going to see out of this offense.
Exactly.
I mean, we haven't seen Trubisky play much at all. Really?
Really?
You know, Anthony Miller has barely played, you know, Trey Burton barely played, you know, Jordan Howard barely played. So, You know, we're going to be like, oh, what's going to happen here? So, you know, I'm excited to see what they do here. You know, also, but keep in mind also that the Packers are coming in with a whole new defensive coordinator. You know, Mike Penn takes over there, and he always says, you know, in the past had a very aggressive blitz heavy defense. He comes from the, you know, Rex Ryan school. So there's something that the Bears haven't seen from the Packers, you know, in terms of that. And I guess they can go back and take a look at some Cleveland Browns tapes when Penn was head coach there, or even when he was defensive coordinator in Buffalo with Rex Ryan. So I guess they can go back and look at some of those tendencies on tape. But, I mean, Sunday night, it's going to be very interesting to see both teams and how they come back and at each other and what kind of surprises, you know, each coaching staff has for the other.
This tweet just came in a little while ago. Patrick Finley tweeted out that Coach Matt Nagy said that they're leaning towards Eric Kush starting at left guard. He said, I'm not going to say 100%, but we probably lean that way. Eric Kush over second-round pick James Daniels at left guard in week one. And Daniels will probably...
And I wonder if that's because of you're on the road Sunday night at Lambeau Field against an aggressive, you know, defensive coordinator who has some exotic blitz packages. It might be a bit too much for the rookie to handle, and I wonder if that's why he's going or he's leaning towards with Kush, you know, the veteran guy.
Kevin Fishbane tweets out that Matt Nagy said this about Rashad Coward: he showed me a lot. He's very coachable. Mentioned that he was impressed with Coward holding his own versus Justin Houston and Dee Ford last week. And yes, that was very impressive because those two guys can bring the pass rush. And Coward did do a good job. But I still think he needs more seasoning, and that's probably why he'll be under practice squad.
I agree.
I think we're going to wrap this baby up. I got to be here in about 8-9 hours with Mike North for the Mike North Advantage. So all of you folks, there were as many as 30 or so folks in the chat room earlier. I hope you will join us in the morning for that. Danny, you got any final thoughts you want to share with us about what you might expect with rosters or anything about this game?
No, I mean, other than that, you know, I think we pretty much covered all the bubble guys pretty well. Though, like I said, I'll repeat myself again here. Just keep an eye on who gets cut around the league. I actually, you know, I saw Trey Wingo today tweet out that the Bears are one of the five teams talking to the Raiders about Khalil Mack. Now, you know, will they make it? Am I expecting the Raiders to trade Khalil Mack? I think they'd be nuts to do it. But also heard, you know, where we, you know, John Gruden says, hey, you know, we were horrible on defense last season with Khalil Mack. Why pay him $27 million and still be horrible on defense? So that's something that, you know, to keep an eye on. You know, cuts from other teams. But you know, in terms of the roster, I think we pretty much have a good idea of who's going to make it, who's not going to make it. But Saturday is always, you know, one of those days. You know, unfortunately, it's you know, men losing their jobs. But it's also an exciting time for fans to kind of see, oh, who got cut, who made the team, who's being traded, who's being picked up from other teams. So it should be a very interesting, fun weekend.
Yeah, you know, trading for Khalil Mack, to me, I just don't think it makes sense. Why not just wait till he becomes a free agent and then spend the $20 million a year that the guy is demanding? Why, you know, send two number one draft picks and a player for Khalil Mack when this team is not really Super Bowl ready this year? So
he won't be a free agent, although, because what happens is, even if he plays his final season, they're going to franchise him for the next two seasons.
Kind of
think of the Kirk Cousins thing, you know? So they're going to keep doing that, and so he's not going to be a free agent, you know? He's not going to be available for you just go give him money and sign him until maybe 2-3 years down the road, and then you're looking at a 30-year-old possibly Khalil Mack as opposed to a 26, 27-year-old Khalil Mack.
Well, thanks for ruining my wet dream there, Danny Shimon. We'll end the show now.
I'm a scout. I don't like giving up draft picks. You know I don't like giving up draft picks.
I know you don't.
But I mean, this is a guy is in the prime of his career, 26, 27-year-old, pass rusher. This is a big need for the defense. I mean, if you give up a pick, you know, a first-round pick this year and possibly a second or third-round pick for the following draft, you know, I'll learn to live with it as I see Khalil Mack sacking quarterbacks, you know, in the NFC North.
Definitely. Hey, head over to bearsbarroom.com. Danny Shimon just wrote an article about five pass rushers that were at least five that we'll be keeping our eye on during the collegiate football season. There's many more pass rushers that he'll be writing about and talking about here on the Bears Barroom Radio Network. We know we need pass rushers. The place to get them is in the draft. In my opinion, other than, you know, unless you're really ready to win a Super Bowl and want to trade draft assets, but we'll be keeping an eye on those pass rushers. Danny Shimon is on it for us.
I just want to clarify something on that. Some people on Twitter thought I was saying those are my top five. Those are not my top five. Those are the five. We're doing a series of our pieces on pass rushers, college pass rushers, and these are the five we chose for this first series. There's five, you know, we're going to keep coming out with the series throughout the whole season.
You got it. All right, everybody. Remember, if you drink, please do not drive, and always bear down.